The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
If you're trying to figure out how to buy your first rental property, I put together an ebook that walks you through the 5 steps to buy your first rental. You can download it for free right now. Just go to landlordgift.com. I've got a real awesome guest for you on the podcast today. He's a newer investor. He's just been at this for about 2 years, but he really got in there. He figured everything out, and he's done a really good job of building his portfolio. It hasn't been all smooth sailing. He's had some challenges along the way. So we're going to talk about what went wrong and what he learned. So let's take a real quick break. We'll thank our sponsors. We'll come back in 60 seconds. And we'll meet Ben Mises from St. Louis.
Are you looking for a roadmap to financial freedom? If so, we have a solution for you. Narada Real Estate is offering a limited number of free strategy sessions to help you get out of the rat race. Learn how you can create wealth and build monthly passive income. To set up a time with one of our knowledgeable investment counselors, simply go to naradarealestate.com. That's NORADA realestate.com.
Whether you want to buy your first rental or you're an experienced investor, you probably already know that having someone on your team to help you finance a property is one of the most important things that you can do as an investor. Chailey Ridge has helped thousands of investors generate rental income by getting the right financing in place for their unique situation. She's an experienced investor herself, as well as an expert on financing rentals. See what she can do for you. Find out more today at RidgeLendingGroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, LendingGroup.com. Hey, Ben, welcome to the podcast. So let's start at the very beginning. What got you first interested in buying rental properties?
Hey, Dan, thanks for having me on the show. And the thing that really got me interested in buying rental properties first. I was actually took a job running business development at a real estate startup. They were building a platform to help the companies that own tons and tons of single family rentals like Invitation Homes and Altisource, building a platform for them to buy and sell. And part of that, I had to learn about real estate investing. So they assigned me the task of just learning everything you can about investing so you can be better educated to sell this platform. Mm-hmm. And through my education about real estate investing, I saw the returns other investors were getting. And I live in St. Louis, Missouri. So I kind of looked out my back door, went on Zillow and started modeling out deals. And it quickly became apparent to me that I can do really well here if I take the time to understand and learn. So I'd started kind of modeling out deals on paper. And from there, I realized that this is something I wanted to do. And within 2 months of kind of having that realization, I was under contract for my first rental property.
Awesome. So that first property was a house hack, right? So you were going to, it was a fourplex building. You were going to live in one of the units and then rent out the other three.
Yeah. Right. And it's the reason I kind of did that is just running the numbers with, I wasn't making too much money at the startup. And I realized if I bought a house and took on a mortgage payment, that would kind of be it for me. I would use my salary to pay that down and I wouldn't have much left over for savings. Mm-hmm. But the way the St. Louis market is and a lot of neighborhoods that are really great neighborhoods to live in, you can buy a 4-family building and the 3 units provide enough income to actually cover your living expenses and most of the repairs of the property. And then you're taking a pretty average salary, but saving 100% of it. And it really lets you snowball and
right.
start building up more yeah. reserves to buy more properties.
I mean, it's really incredible how powerful a house hack can be when you take away the money you're paying for rent and now you can save that. So tell me about that first building. So was it ready to go or did you need to do some work when you bought it?
Yeah, so this was a really interesting scenario. I had been kind of monitoring properties that came on. I had an agent sending me a list of properties on the MLS, and we'd walked a bunch of deals, and most of the things that I thought would cash flow needed a lot of work, and they were a little bit expensive. And this deal came on the market, It didn't really have any good photos, and they said they wouldn't do any showings until you were under contract. And based on the rents, I thought on paper, this deal makes sense. It's the best cash flowing deal I've seen. We kind of assumed there would be a lot of problems, but we went under contract. My agent recommended, at least we'll go take a look since you can't do that until you're under contract. And we walked in and the building was just in incredible shape. There had been a major fire 10 years ago. So the electrical, the plumbing, the interiors had been redone. And we later found that the owner had actually been cheating on his wife with the property manager, who decided to cheat on him and had taken away the keys. So he needed to sell this building because he didn't have access to it. So they didn't really know about the condition when they listed it for sale. So we were able to buy a building in an incredible location that barely needed any repairs or maintenance. We just negotiated a credit for a new roof and to fix the sewer. So I was only into the property about $8,400 on an FHA loan. And that's the only money I ever had to put in.
And then the seller, so you bought the house and then you got a credit back at closing for the roof and the sewers?
Yeah. So at the closing day, they actually cut a check to the title company that would later go directly to the roofer. And we did the new trenchless repair to the sewer. So they were able to redo the line without having to do any digging to save on cost that way.
That's incredible. Wow. So now how did it work? So you moved in there and then... was it hard to, I guess, was there any little work you had to do before you could rent out the other three units, or was it literally ready to go?
So it was fully occupied we moved in.
Okay.
And
okay.
The one of the issues that we did have, there was unfortunately one tenant that was a hoarder, and we were really concerned. You know, the rents were incredibly low there. And what ultimately ended up happening was she decided on her own volition she wanted to move out and kind of go to be closer to her family. And she cleaned the place up. It was almost spotless. So we dodged a really big bullet there. The only really tough thing that happened when we bought the building, it was completely occupied. And per the terms of the loan, I had to move in within 2 months. And there was one tenant on a month-to-month lease. So the first day I bought a building, I got the experience of telling a tenant that in 30 or 60 days, I have to move in. So I gave the tenant the full 60 days, but that was a really tough thing to do and kind of an introduction to this is what it's like
right.
as a real estate investor.
Yeah, I mean, for your first task as a landlord to kick someone out. So how did it go when you broke the news to him?
So I'd given him a call. He didn't answer. So I actually went and did it in person, knocked on his door, and I was incredibly nervous. You know, this is the first day I bought the building. It ended up going pretty well. I explained to him, this is why I have to do it. I offered to pay to actually move all of his things and did it as friendly as I could. But it was definitely kind of a test right then of, do I actually want to get into this?
Right. Well, that's good that it went great. So then you moved in, and then how did it work? You know, so you're a landlord now and you're living with your tenants. How was that dynamic? Was that awkward at all, or did you quickly develop a good relationship with your tenants?
So I was really fortunate in that a lot of the tenants were a similar age to me, and I was really fortunate that I'd bought a building that was in great shape. And it's always easier to have relationships with your tenants when they're not constantly complaining about things that are breaking.
Right.
Instead, it was, you know, just us interacting. The place had a big backyard. A lot of the tenants and myself had a dog. So we would, you know, be out back and meeting and mingling. But it definitely could have been worse if there's problems they're complaining about and I wasn't sure how to fix them.
The thing that would always concern me about living with tenants like that is that they might come over when you're, you know, maybe in the middle of doing something, or you don't want to be bothered, that they have access to you. They know where you live. Was that ever a problem when you were living there with tenants just coming over or feeling like they're friends with you? So you're not seen as the landlord. You're maybe seen as their friend since they're similar in age to you.
It was definitely a concern. Obviously, you know, that's definitely a risk you take, especially if you go out of your way to befriend and be nice to your tenants. And it didn't happen at the first property we bought, but we're currently house hacking again. And it definitely has happened there. I think it was 2 weeks ago, we had a toilet up on the second floor back up and start spewing water down into the first floor bathroom and then into the basement. And it was about 11 p.m. We get a crazy knock on the door saying, you know, you need to come look at this and fix what's going on. And while it's, you know, terrible in the moment, you're kind of busy doing other things. At the same time, it's a great way to mitigate some serious potential costs of being able to run, you know, switch off the valve, call out a plumber, and take care of something in an hour. That if you had a management company, might be leaking all night until you've, you know, completely ruined your ceiling.
Absolutely. All right. So you got the house hack. Everything is going great with it. Tell me, like, how long it took before you decided to buy your next property.
I'd say it took about 2 months to kind of settle in. The biggest and I thought scariest thing about real estate is it's such an unknown when you first buy it. You know, you're managing all these tenants. You have no idea what it's going to be like to be a landlord. And after a couple months, you kind of get comfortable. Like most days, you didn't have to do anything. And on the days that something go wrong, you know, if it's a plumbing issue, you call a plumber. And once you get that peace of mind, then I felt we were ready to go bigger. And we wanted to learn what it was like to do a renovation. So then we started researching, you know, how do we actually find deals? How do you find a renovation property? And in addition to looking on the market, we'd actually started to call every single for rent sign we saw. And we drove by one in my neighborhood. It was an old red for rent sign, couldn't find the property online. And when I called up the owner to ask if she was interested in selling, she said, you know, I'm potentially interested, maybe not. But, you know, the vacant unit hasn't been rented yet. So if you want to come by and look at it, I'm happy to meet with you and we can see. And that kind of started the conversation. And I think it was about after maybe 3 or 4 months after we'd closed on the first one, we ended up meeting the seller and going under contract about 2 weeks later to buy our big renovation.
That's a great way to find deals. So you're calling for rent signs, trying to find a tired landlord that just wants to sell, right?
Yeah. Our kind of general thesis is if you're finding a landlord that's taking professional photos and you see it on Zillow and Trulia and Hotpads, that's a landlord that's passionate and taking their business to the 21st century. And if you're finding an older landlord who doesn't even want to deal with, you know, even marketing their properties, they probably have a lot of equity so they can wait for someone to drive by. And more often than not, those people are in a position where they might be sick of it and ready to get rid of the property if you can find a way to make the deal work for everyone.
Totally. So that place, was it run down? Did it need a lot of work?
Yeah. So this place was the complete opposite of the last place we bought. It had, we've now done roof work, completely redid the sewer. We redid all four kitchens, the bathrooms, the floors. We had to repaint. They had still radiator heating, and in one of the units, it had gotten to the point where every time you turned it on, water was shooting out of the wall, so we had to do central air on the whole building. So it was a complete education in what it means to do a renovation and all the different ways you can make mistakes.
A lot of times with renovations, the hard part is finding good contractors. Was it difficult? I mean, because you're basically brand new, I mean, to dealing with contractors. Was it hard to find a good crew?
Yeah, I would completely agree with you. I would say the biggest and most common source of headaches for any new investors is how you actually find and then manage and maintain a relationship with your contractors. Especially, you know, I was coming from kind of the white collar tech world. I'd never kind of even really swung a hammer before.
Yeah.
So what we did was when we were kind of learning, we wanted to see how much these renovations would cost. So we found a house with a seller. It was on lockbox. He was willing to let us go in. So we actually sent out a mass invite. We showed up and we had 15 different contractors at this property. And we told all of them what we wanted to do. And we got bids that ranged, you know, from $25,000 to $125,000. So that was such an eye-opening experience of there's so much variance and variables that could happen. And we unfortunately made the mistake. We hired one of the cheapest guys we met there, and we paid for it dearly. The work we got was of bad quality, and it was over budget. And it was, you know, after he finished, we had to go in and hire a professional to kind of fix the mistakes that were left behind.
Oh, wow. That's horrible. But I'd love the strategy of having basically an open house for contractors. So, like, were any of them mad? Like, you know, what are you making me do, compete with 14 other people? Like, did you get any attitude from the contractors?
There were two or three when we showed up at the property. My business partner and I were both, I think we were 23 at the time. And there was definitely a couple of looks from some of the older guys, like, you have got to be kidding me.
Right.
And they just immediately up and left the job site.
Yeah.
But most of them thought it was funny, and they knew, you know, these people are going to hire someone, so it's a good chance to win business. And that was, you know, definitely a positive experience.
I think a good lesson too is the cheapest person isn't necessarily the best. That seems to be the takeaway. So how did you get out of that? I mean, so the contractor came in, you know, sounds like he maybe didn't know what he was doing. He did a really bad job. How did you get everything fixed?
So one thing that was really fortunate for us, he would do a lot of subcontracting, and he had one sub who was an older union guy who did absolutely incredible work. And whatever that sub would do was just really high quality. And because this was a property that we were always around, we got to know this guy. We built a relationship. And at the end of the project, we said, you know, we would love to keep working with you, but there is no way I'm comfortable hiring this guy again. I mean, as of now, we even need to hire someone to fix a lot of the work. And he understood. We had a conversation. We got the go-ahead to kind of continue working with the sub. We paid a little bit of a fee just to buy it out so we could work with the sub that he'd been with. And that's kind of been our main interior contractor. And then the other thing we've done is we've slowly started to building our own team. So now we have an incredible AC guy. We have a great electrician, a great plumber. We still use that same sub for all of our interior rehabs. We found a great roofer. And now it's to the point where we can walk into a project, estimate it. You know, we do enough business with these guys. We can bring the team through to get estimates. And we're comfortable and confident that this work will get done at that price in the time frame.
I love it.
Until we got there, it was the most terrifying and infuriating part of the process.
I bet. So once the property was fixed up, I imagine you were able to raise the rent quite a bit?
Yeah. So the property, these were two-bedroom units. One of the sides is 1,700 square feet. The other is 1,500 square feet. And they were renting for about $700 and $800, depending on the size. And after we fixed it up, they're now between $1,250 and $1,500 in rent.
Awesome.
So we've almost doubled the income the property is producing.
I love it. That's the way to do it. Now, did you think you were going to be able to get that big of an increase in rent when you bought it, or were you kind of surprised?
We were budgeting that if we can hit, you know, $1,200 in rent, we won't lose money. We kind of went in thinking that this building is our education. I know we're going to make mistakes. The goal was just not to lose so much money that $1,200 in rent would not make us break even.
Yeah.
And we were incredibly thrilled to actually see how it turned out.
Yeah, that's great. So where did you go from there? Now, so this is all in a very short period of time. In the last 2 years, like, so 2 years ago, you didn't have the house hack. You didn't know anything about real estate, right?
Yeah, two years ago, I was convinced I would be at a tech company in San Francisco. So it's quite the change.
And tell me how many doors you have today.
So we have 22 doors at the moment, and we're currently on the market looking to pick up another 40 after we actually just refinanced the rehab we just talked about, as it appraised for about $670,000, and we bought it for $400,000.
Now, that is... So you're moving really quick. Do you have any fear that maybe you're moving too quick? Like, does that ever cross your mind, or do you feel like you've got this figured out and you kind of know what works?
So I would never want to sound so confident to say we have the entire system figured out, but we do have a lot of kind of fail safes in place, where a lot of our portfolio is kind of lower income, affordable housing, and we're really big on budgeting ahead of schedule. So when we buy a building, we always want to do the roof, the tuck pointing, make sure the building is secure. And we also want $2,000 per door in reserves. So if something goes wrong, if there's a vacancy, a big catastrophe, where we're covered and we have the reserves, where we're not flying by the seat of our pants.
Mm-hmm. So are you looking to have $2,000 for each unit to kind of keep that account always at $2,000 per door, or do you add to that so that it grows over time?
So that's kind of we want to get to $2,000 per door. And if you have any expenses before you take a disbursement, you put it back in.
Okay.
Just because now as we have 22 doors, that's a $44,000 escrow fund. So it would take something massive, which would hopefully be covered by insurance, to lose that fund.
Right.
And to that might change if we experienced high vacancy. We're currently at about 95%. So I feel pretty comfortable with our current rental income and that escrow fund that it's giving us some downside protection.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of the benefit of having a bigger portfolio. So it's like as you have more doors, that risk is just kind of spread apart. It's spread around. So it's like if you have one rental and that rental needs a new roof or you have some vacancy, you're kind of dead in the water. But like as you have more doors, that risk is just kind of spread around a little bit more. So yeah, so I think that's a good benefit of where you're headed. So you're looking to scale from here? Like you want to keep buying more rentals? Like do you have an end goal to how many units you want to get up to?
So when we started, we decided, my business partner and I, you know, we had our freedom number. We wanted to have $10,000 a month each in passive income. But as we've gotten into it, I've kind of realized this is something I absolutely love to do. Mm-hmm. And it's less about how much we're making. I'm passionate about, we've been focusing on affordable housing, and I really enjoy, you know, buying a building that's run down, repairing it, providing a great place to live. And the money is great as well, but it's definitely something, anytime I see a deal and I get to walk through it and model it, it's just something I truly enjoy and am passionate doing. So at this point, it's kind of, I'm looking forward to growing a portfolio, learning more, building systems, seeing how things change when you get to 100 units, 1,000 units. And it's just something I'm wake up every morning thrilled I get the opportunity to do.
Yeah, I totally understand. You know, it's addictive. I mean, it really is addictive buying rentals. So now tell me the other thing you're doing. So you started a real estate brokerage called Clever. Tell me about what Clever is, and what you're doing is a little bit different from most real estate brokerages.
Yeah, so Clever Real Estate kind of came out of the real estate investing and just modeling so many deals. It kind of hit me that every time you sell a building and you pay all this commission, if you're going to take that proceed and buy another building, you know, if you're getting a bank loan at 20% down, that's 4 or 5 times the amount of money you can actually borrow. So any money that you lose, you're really losing 4 to 5x that amount of money. So what Clever actually is we're a brokerage that connects anyone in the country to a local real estate agent that will list their home for either a flat fee of $3,000 or 1% if the home is more expensive than $350,000. And you still get a full service agent from a major brand or a top rated local brokerage, which is really great for an investor because it lets you, you know, sell your home, save on commissions, and do a 1031 exchange and buy something even bigger than you could have afforded before.
So the way that could benefit our listeners, if they're an agent, they could sign up to get leads from you. Is that right?
Yeah, we love growing our network of agents. We market across the entire country. We look for agents, you know, that understand, well, you might not make as much money on each individual deal. We like to find agents we can send volume to. And, you know, it is free. We don't charge anything up front. We're only getting paid if the home sells. So we're motivated to send you educated clients that are ready to go.
And then the other way that this could benefit listeners is if they have a property they need to sell, they could go to your website and get referred to an agent that would list the property, right?
Yeah. If you made the decision that you don't want to become a real estate agent, it's a great opportunity for you to save on commission when you sell your home and really just use that extra proceeds to buy something bigger. But a lot of, you know, times people become an agent as they get more and more into investing, just because the more you buy, the more it makes sense to get that commission for yourself.
Definitely. Well, Ben has shared with me the spreadsheet that he uses to evaluate deals. If you want to check it out, I've got it up on the website. You can download it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode178. I've also got the contact information for Ben's company if you want to look that up. Again, it's rentalincomepodcast.com/episode178. Thank you so much for listening and subscribing to the podcast. We've got new episodes every Tuesday. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.